Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Monday, June 6th, and today we are reading from the Big Book. We are on page 8 in Bill's story, and we're going to read and comment on the second paragraph, which begins with trembling. I step from a hospital, a broken man, and ends with, that is incredibly more wonderful as time passes. Today's readers are Terry H. for the 12 Steps, Rhonda R. for the 12 Traditions, Mary B., Barbara W., and Lois P. The reference number for yesterday's special edition for Sunday, June 5th, is 19033. That's 19,033. Today's reference number for the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for Monday, June 6th, is 19307. That's 19,307. I'm going to double check that first number. I may have made an error there. Hang on just a second, please. It will be repeated at the end of the meeting. And okay, so I'll leave it at that. Double check for the end of the meeting. And, oh, I'm sorry. It's the this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 19037. Sorry about that. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Terry H. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning, Elaine B. Thank you so much for your service. I'm Terry H., recovered compulsive overeater from Pensacola, Florida. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives became unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly ask Him to remove all our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to be of service today.
Thank you very much. Thanks so much, Terry H. And now we're on to R. We'll read the 12 traditions for us.
Good morning. Excuse me. Good morning, everyone. This is Rhonda R., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Rhonda R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We share what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 8 in the second paragraph, and I will ask Mary B. to please begin reading for us.
Good morning. My name is Mary B. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Phoenix, Arizona. I'm on page 8 of the Big Book in Bill's story, second full paragraph. Trembling, I stepped from the hospital a broken man. Fear sobered me for a bit. Then came the insidious insanity of that first drink, and on Armistice Day, 1934, I was off again. Everyone became resigned to the certainty that I would have to be shut up somewhere or would stumble along to a miserable end. How dark it is before the dawn. In reality, that was the beginning of my last debauch. I was soon to be catapulted into what I like to call the fourth dimension of existence. I was to know happiness, peace, and usefulness in a way of life that is incredibly more wonderful as time passes. This paragraph is so rich with so many good things, I don't even know where to go. Because it's all hitting me right now, which is fine. Where he says, he just said in the paragraph ahead, that alcohol was my master. So we now know that he has total loss of control. Alcohol has taken over his life. He's a dead duck. He knows in his hardest of hearts that he cannot make it stop. And boy, can I relate to that. Then he says, trembling, I stepped from the hospital a broken man. I don't know how many times I felt like a broken woman, unable to do anything about it. I just wanted it to stop, but I just didn't know how. Dieting didn't work. Starving didn't work. Throwing up didn't work. Lying about it didn't work. Hiding it didn't work. Nothing worked. It just got worse and worse and worse. Then he says, fear sobered me for a bit. Well, at those times in my life when it got really bad, I would say to myself, I'm going to put you away in the eating disorder clinic. You're going to go stay in an eating disorder facility. And I'd call the insurance company and they would tell me it's going to be $30,000 to stay in there for 1 month. And when you come out, you're going to pay $5,000 out of your pocket. Well, it doesn't take a college degree to figure I couldn't have done it. I couldn't have done it. There's just no way. Would have been a waste of money. I love this, where everybody became resigned to the certainty that I would have to be shut up somewhere. He couldn't even hide it. He couldn't even, everybody knew. Everybody knew, his friends knew, his wife knew, his family knew. Wall Street, he had a bad name on Wall Street. He was known as a drunk on Wall Street. Couldn't get a job. Man. And then how dark it is before the dawn. And then I'm going to jump to this last sentence because I haven't got a lot of time here. I was to know happiness, peace, and usefulness in a way of life that is incredibly more wonderful as time passes. And that is the beauty. That's the turnaround. That's the switch. He obviously had the spiritual awakening, spiritual experience, where he no longer took another drink, died with a little over 36 years of sobriety. And that's why we are here today. And I am oh so forever grateful. Thank you for allowing me to share. Thanks for everybody on the line. Thanks for doing service. I'll pass.
Thank you, Mary B. I am oh so forever grateful too. Well put. Okay. Though we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last couple meetings, then please press star one to unmute. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this powerful paragraph.
Roz G.
Roz G.
Martha C.
Martha Z.
Nancy C.
Nancy C.
Helen C.
Helen C. Beautiful. Anybody else want to get in this lineup?
Bruce E.
Bruce E. Room for one more. Okay, this is a beautiful lineup. We've got Roz G, followed by Martha Z, Nancy C, Helen C, and Bruce E. So if you are not Roz G, please mute your phone. And Roz G, please share with us.
Good morning, everybody. This is Roz G. I'm recovered in Palmdale, California. I'm also on summer break. Thank you, Lord. I remember, I'd say about 1997, because I came into OA in 2002. So about 5 years before I came into OA, I remember sitting at the edge of a bed in a house that I was going bankruptcy in and losing, where my husband was losing his job. And I couldn't stop eating the Pillsbury Doughboy chocolate chip cookies. I put them in the oven. I baked them to where they were really, really soft. I put one in my mouth and I just ate almost the whole tube. And I just remember sitting at the edge of the bed, overweight, losing my home, my marriage in shambles, not knowing what was going to happen, thinking, I want to die. But I have two girls. I didn't even have a son yet. I had two girls, and they were babies. And I was like, I can't die. I have to raise these babies. That was the only reason I was thinking about living, was because I had two babies to raise. Of course, that's important. But you know what I'm saying? It's like I was out of ideas. But as I look at it from a recovered point of view today, that was a bottom for me, and I was out of ideas. But actually, I tried more things because I didn't come into OA for many years after that. And then I still tried more things in OA. But I'll be 3 years abstinent in July, next month. But I've learned so many things throughout the years. I don't regret any of it. Just to say that the light came when I stepped into my first Overeaters Anonymous meeting, and the people looked at me and they shook their heads up and down when I described to them how sad and how different I felt from my thin sisters who could eat anything they wanted to and didn't gain weight, and I was the fat one, and I got the black sweater on Christmas instead of the colorful one because black hides fat. I mean, oh, self-pity, you know? But the light is that I got into the meetings, and although we didn't study the big book, I became a member of Overeaters Anonymous, and I had a purpose. And then a few years later came, and I learned the big book and the Vision for You meetings and Zoom and recovery and abstinence and a food plan and sponsoring and a life worth living and looking at the beautiful sunrise this morning and playing ball with my dogs. That's the dawn. That's the light that I live today. Thank you.
Such a reminder. Oh, thank you so much, Rajji. Okay, Martha Z, you're up next, followed by Nancy C.
Good morning, my dear Elaine. This is Martha C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater by the grace of God from outside of Philadelphia. And good morning, my friends in recovery. Oh, this paragraph and the one before it are probably just about my favorite paragraphs in the entire book, certainly in this story. So I could so relate. I could have written it myself. So he talks about the bitter morass of self-pity. And I think the 12 and 12 talks about self-pity oozing from every pore. That was me. And food was absolutely my master. I couldn't do what I wanted to do. I couldn't stop doing what I didn't want to do. So on the day of my bottom, I would call it my bottom, I had called a treatment center the day before, and they were going to check my insurance. So I didn't expect, it was a Friday, I didn't expect to hear from them till the following Monday. So on Saturday morning, it was always my habit that I'd get up really early and go food shopping while my two little girls were still sleeping, and my husband. And so I got up and I did that, and I came back and I broke one of my main rules, which was I went back to bed. So I don't know, I'm in bed, and my husband and two daughters are in bed with me, and I'm sobbing. The tears are streaming down my face. And my four-year-old is, she's wiping the tears from my face, and she's saying, "Mommy's sad." And I'm laying there thinking, "Oh my God, I can't do this anymore. We can't do this anymore. It's affecting everybody." They leave. I get down on my knees and I say, "God, you know, like, I don't care. It doesn't have to even be this place. I don't really care. Just help me to get the help I need. And if I say in a week that I'm okay, help me go anyway." So then the phone rings. It's Saturday morning. It's the treatment center, and they say, "Can you come?" They were supposed to come for February 15th. I'm like, "Yes." You know, which is very hard. My daughters were not quite 5 and not quite 7. God bless my husband, really. I have the recovery I have today because of him. But anyway, so I go that morning. So the next paragraph, how dark it is before the dawn. The morning that I, you know, went to leave for treatment, the sky is black as night. It is pouring rain. My daughters are down the basement, my older ones sobbing. I leave to go to the airport, and we go, and this is back in 1989, my brother and my father, who are both alcoholics, they take me. They're standing at the gate. I'm turning to go down the hallway to the plane, and I'm thinking to myself, I felt like that part in Acceptance is the Answer where the jail door slams shut and the other, you know, he's on inside. And I'm thinking, wait, what's wrong with this picture here? Like, I'm the wellest person in the family and I'm going to treatment. Anyway, so I'm sitting on the plane. It is pouring rain and I'm just like praying to God that I get there. And anyway, I did get there and I prayed every morning. I knew what a privilege it was for me to be there. I prayed every morning for the willingness to do whatever I needed to do to recover, and left my husband and daughter in their hands. So I'm just happy to say that I didn't know I was going to be catapulted into fourth dimension. That's what happened. And I do know happiness, peace, and usefulness in a way of life that's incredibly more wonderful as time passes. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Martha Z. Nancy C., you're up next, followed by Helen C.
Good morning, Elaine. Thanks for taking the meeting. Good morning, all my visionaries. This is Nancy C., gratefully recovered this morning in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and just felt compelled to put my name in the ring to share. The sentence that really gets me this morning is, I was off again. I was always off again, on again, off again. And that fear that kept me from that first bite till I was off again, which, you know, was sometimes a month, sometimes a week, sometimes a day, sometimes an hour. And then it got down to being a minute and I was off again. And the fear and the trepidation of not knowing what to do. And if you go down to the bottom of the paragraph, you know, the promise is that we have to get to that bitter morass. We have to get to that darkest day to be able to be catapulted into a spiritual awakening and a transformed by the power of God in this program. But that I was off again just really struck me today, because for so many years I was off again and everyone watched me helplessly not being able to get that fork out of my mouth. And it wasn't until I got on to this meeting and started to listen to people who had found recovery, who had found somebody to take them through the book and found the spiritual path that laid itself out so easily to me, that I found recovery. So I am so grateful to the people who started this program or this meeting, the people who have helped me along the way. And if you're new, leave your name, let people call you, and let somebody help you, because you know you don't have to be off again anymore. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Nancy C. Helen C. is up next, followed by Bruce E.
Good morning, everybody. This is Helen C., compulsive overeater in Northern California. And wow. Like listening to the big book, listening to this this paragraph, you know, what stood out to me is that, you know, he was going to have to be locked up. And I mean, I really relate to that because, you know, for me not to eat, I would literally, like if I wasn't going to engage in my eating when I was in the food, like I literally was going to have to be locked up. It's a metaphor. You know, we're all in a prison. You know, or at least I was, with my eating, and there was no way out for me. There was no way out. And this last relapse that I had today is day 13, by the way. No, day 12. Sorry. And I'm just overcome with gratitude because I am experiencing a complete relief of my compulsive overeating, a complete absence of it. And I've been in and out of OA for years, and I have never experienced this. And, of course, there's a voice in my head that's like, yeah, but the other shoe is going to drop. And I know it's higher power. I'm absolutely sure of it because I couldn't do this. I couldn't go from one day face down in the food to, you know, being rocketed into the fourth dimension, like it says. And that's what I feel like. I'm like, I'm in territory that I've never been in before, where I'm not obsessing about food or weighing myself and saying, well, you know, I'm a pound less than yesterday, so I can eat today. And, oh, I'm a pound up, so I'm going to try not to eat today. And just the insanity of that, the insanity of just being fixated on that. I'm in a place that I've never been before, and I just talk to my higher power and say, what do I do? Like, what is this? I've never lived like this before. It's so new and wonderful and beautiful. And I already feel like my creative spirit is rising up in me, and it's already manifested in doing some artwork. And I've been dead inside my whole life, and I didn't even know.
I didn't even know how much it was connected to the food. I mean, I suspected that it was. I suspected that that's what was killing my spirit. And I've got
a reminder.
Thank you. I'm just grateful to be in these meetings because my higher power led me here, and I'm experiencing a grace I've never known before. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Helen C. Before we hear from Bruce E., I just want to let you know that we're commenting on page 8, the second paragraph, and we'll be taking another lineup after Bruce's share. Please share with us, Bruce.
Hello, Bruce E. in Recovered. I live in Southwest Florida. And thank you for those, everybody on the line. Thank you, thank you. Let's see. Well, like everybody else, this paragraph is having a pretty solid impact on my life and has had. So he's going from one of the lowest points in his life here. He stepped from the hospital a broken man. Fear sobered out for a while, then came the first drink. So I would relate that to the year before I got into vision, which was 5 or 6 years ago. And okay, I kept having the insidious insanity of the first bite for about a year previous to coming in here. I was couldn't get a week, 2 weeks, couldn't put at the most 2 weeks together. And then I came in, and I kind of thought I was going to be like this, stumbling along to a miserable and stumbling along to a miserable end. And I had been doing that for almost 30 years, stumbling along to this miserable end. And finally, I think I was rocketed into this fourth dimension. It's always fun to talk to people about, well, what do you think the first three were? But anyway, the fourth dimension definitely is this happiness, peace, and usefulness. And I got an OA, a vision sponsor, and I started feeling a connection like I hadn't felt in a long time. I think that that's fourth dimension. And I started feeling like the obsession and the compulsion were lifting. And I think that's fourth dimension. And so presence of God, the connection, the obsession, compulsion, lifting, being able to stay on a food plan for the first time in my life, pretty much, at least in the 30 years in OA, staying on a food plan. And those compulsions to eat those red light foods were pretty much removed. And the happiness, peace, and usefulness is here. And so the fourth dimension, I believe, is where God is. That's heaven. That's even heaven on earth. And I think the first three are important, too, because first one is just where I'm at, all the people around me, and God's present here. And then the second is what I see when I go out at night, look upstairs or outside. The heaven, the moon, stars, and all that, second dimension. Third dimension being the demonic or the addiction or the disease. Fourth dimension being where God is, where we are now. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Bruce C. So again, we're commenting on page 8 of Bill's story, the second paragraph, and though we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last few meetings, then please press star 1 to unmute. We'd love to hear from you.
Melanie, pardon me, Melanie C.
Elaine G.
Melanie C, Elaine G. Anybody else?
Lois P.
Lois P. Is that room for more? Well, let's go with Melanie C, Elaine G, and Lois P. Please share with us, Melanie.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. Melanie C here from Canby, Oregon, recovered. Thank God. That certainly wasn't my story a few years back, and I had
begged and begged and begged and all the things that were degrading, you know, to try to find a way out of this place that I had found myself in, that I put myself in. And my darkest before the dawn was that my husband and I had been raising my brother's children for a few years, and we were hoping so much that he was going to get it together and take them back, because I was fallen fast and didn't even know it. And I was miserable. I couldn't wait for them to get to school. They were on the bus at 7:30 in the morning and didn't get back until 4:30 in the afternoon. And I ate and ate and ate and ate and ate at almost 300 pounds. Wasn't bathing. My hygiene was absolutely disgusting. The home was disgusting. I was abusive. I was horrible. Now they were supposed to be in a better place with me, these boys. Holy smokes. And then the phone call came, the phone jangled, and I got a phone call. My brother was in prison again, and oh my God, we were going to have to take these kids, and I was dying, and I was drowning, and I couldn't stop eating. I had insomnia. I was eating the clock round, and I was a filthy, stinking, rotten, slovenly mess, aching, and I said, I'm going to go back to OA, and I didn't want to go, but I had nowhere else to go, and I called a number, and there was a place to go. And I was agoraphobic. I wasn't leaving my home. And these people stayed on the telephone with me while I drove 3.5 hours to a meeting one way. Because you're willing to go to any length. And they stayed on the phone. I got there little bit by little bit, shaking, absolutely shaking in my boots. I didn't know how to drive anymore. I was just a mess. And I got the message from them that came from the East Coast, that actually came from a business conference meeting that was in New Mexico, that went up to Olympia, Washington, that brought the message to me that turned my life around, that I have the recovery today. Oh, the food was one thing, and that they helped me with, get it into a nice, neat little place in a box and a package, and so I no longer had to take any of my alcoholic foods in anymore, but it was the other piece where the miracle truly lies. And that was a transformation from where I was at. Scrap heap is a beautiful word to say in relationship to where I was at, to where I'm at now. Recovered, living vibrantly with joy, moving through all of the things that life has to come to me. The power that came from the exact directions from the big book so that I could thrive and live today. It is stunning. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Melanie C. Elaine G., you're up next, followed by Lois P.
This is Elaine G. from New York. I don't know much what I'm going to say here, but all I know is that I can relate to that. And actually, before I came to the program and in the program, I would say I went through all this. I mean, like, before I came in the program, when I was married, I compulsively ate something terrible. I got up to 263. I tried hurting myself. It was really terrible, and my whole idea was that I want to feel something. I felt numb from the abuse that he was giving me, and. Then when I went to my son's bar mitzvah, at my highest, I was wearing this girdle that was killing me, like a four-way girdle. But anyway, when I came into the program, I thought I was at my bottom. No, I wasn't. And it took going through many sponsors, because I wanted to do things my way, and compulsively eating and eating and eating, and feeling like I wanted to die, and what else am I going to say here? It wasn't until I came into Vision for You that I felt like I was, you know, life was worth living. And there was just a friend of mine who used to be my sponsor, who's still my friend now, try Vision for You. And otherwise, I was very depressed. Depressed all the time. I hated to get out of bed. I mean, like, I just wanted to stay in bed all day. And, this morning I was glad I could sleep a little later. I could go out on my terrace, you know, beautiful out there, with all the birds chirping. But anyway, I'm glad to get up. I'm glad to get up in the morning. Glad to get up and start the new day. Anyway, that's it for me.
Thank you very much, Elaine G. Lois P. Is up next, and then we will be taking more shares on page 8 of Bill's story. Please share with us, Lois.
Hi, thank you, Elaine, and thank you, everyone who has shared. It's been very moving. This is Lois P., gratefully recovered in New York. So trembling, broken, fear. This is the way it ended for me, where literally my former life came to an end. For so many years, I was battling, I was struggling, I was fighting. I kept rising from the ashes again and again to meet this head on. I could do it. So what if it's a little bit today, you know, if I have a little bit of this? So what if I didn't do it for 3 days? I'll do it the next time. So many years until I finally came to a point where I literally was broken and shaken and regressed, almost like a child. I became so saddened by my life, even though my life was, by the external view of it, was successful. But it was my inner life where I really was dying. I was desperate. I was racked with this horrible addiction that I didn't know was a real addiction. I didn't know my body couldn't handle those kinds of foods. I didn't know. So I kept struggling, and every time it took me down to the mat. Until one day I just fell apart, and I cried like a baby, and I became like a child again, helpless, needing God, needing something. And at that moment, for me, it was an awakening, because I gave my life up. I said to God, I cannot do this. Please take my life. I couldn't take my own life. I had children, and even though they were older now, I would never do that to them. And I was scared to take my own life. But at that moment, when I was trembling and frightened and broken, I called out and I said, please take my life. Take it, and may it be of some use to you, because it's been very little use to me. And at that moment, within the next few days, something happened to me. I did literally die. And I encourage anybody on this line, get desperate, get broken, get fed up, and feel hopeless. Stop struggling. Because when I gave up and I surrendered, I was, like Bill, catapulted into what I now know is the fourth dimension, where my life is so different. There is a happiness. There's a peace. There's a joy in now not having the old life. I still have my children, my family. I mean, everything is the same. But I'm not. There has been a shift. And in that shift, there is new life. And in that new life, there's everything I ever wanted. And I encourage anyone on this line to really throw your hands up in the air, get on your knees in one way or another, and just give your life over. Because a miracle does happen. It will happen. But first, you have to be broken. And thank you. That's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Lois P. We have time for 3 more shares. So if you would like to comment on the second paragraph on page 8, we do value your experience, but if you, so we ask you to limit your share to every third day so that others might share their experience too. So if you would like to comment on that paragraph and haven't shared in the last 2 meetings, please let me know.
Jody E.
Jody E.
Teresa W.
Teresa W. Room for one more. Okay. Please share with us Jody E. You'll be followed by Teresa W.
Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California. Thank you to the speakers who have spoken so far. Oh, yeah. Trembling. Soon to be catapulted into what I like to call the fourth dimension of existence. Beautiful, beautiful words, and it's so true. I have been beaten. I have been broken more than once. I was beaten and broken before my very first meeting, and I knew when I got here that I had found what I needed. And it's been a process, and it continues to be a process of turning my will and my life over to the care of God, praying for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out, and trying to carry this message to the next compulsive overeater who still suffers. And in the process of doing that, doing my best to carry this message, my life changes. It stays the same in many ways, but it gets better. It just keeps getting better. And I have health today, physical health. I'm able to make a living. The promises are coming true. What a blessing for someone who thought that she would end up committing suicide sooner or later. This is a life-saving, life-giving program, these 12 steps. Along with abstinence, which is step one, I can get my life back, and I can feel useful, and I can sense that my higher power is using me in all my affairs. And people are attracted to that. It's a true, true blessing, and anyone who is new or struggling, just get a guide and work these steps, get abstinent, become willing. The foods that you thought you loved so much, they are not a friend. And there's a much greater satisfaction awaiting you. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Jody E. Teresa W., you're up next, and we will have time for another share after Teresa.
Hi, this is Teresa W. from Colorado, and I am thankful for all of your sharing and service today. I am a compulsive overeater and recovering, and I have been abstinent and have been unabstinent, and it's difficult, but I am thankful to be working with a sponsor and making a good plan for recovery using the steps and good guidance again. And I am looking forward to enjoying more activities with my young kids and being of more service to others. And I am a little nervous, so I'll pass there. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Who else would like to comment on Bill's story, second paragraph, page 8?
Marietta P.
Marietta P. I think I have time for two. Who was that?
Aaliyah S.
Aaliyah S. Okay, I think I have time for two-minute shares. And
Nancy?
I'm so sorry, Nancy. Marietta P. and Aaliyah S. are all we have time for today. But please share with us next time. So, Marietta, please share.
Hi, I'm Marietta.
And thank you.
Okay. This is Marietta P. from Virginia. And I just wanted to say I am so grateful for these meetings. And that, you know, it is dark before the dawn, and I'm feeling like I've been in a dark place the last few days, and with God's grace, I know it's God's grace because messages come to me through texts and emails and stuff to, you know, turn back to the program. You know, it's easy to forget where the source of power comes from, and it doesn't come from myself. And that's all I want to share. I want to claim my seat, basically. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Marietta. And Aaliyah asks, you have 3 minutes then. Thank you.
Good morning. Please this go. Is Aaliyah S., recovered in California, compulsive overeater. This is my favorite line out of the whole big book, how dark it is before the dawn. And it was really dark my whole life, being locked in the prison of my own mind, of the obsession of the food, but especially the last 2.5 years calling daily into this meeting. Then when the pandemic happened, all these wonderful Zoom meetings happened, and sitting there binging through the meeting and, you know, calling someone and asking them to be my sponsor and going through my red light, green light food and reading the doctor's opinion over and over and over again, knowing what the problem was about the physical allergy, that I had a, you know, allergic reaction to certain ingredients and behaviors, and that I had a strange mental twist that would bring me back to those foods that will kill me, and not being able to quit. It got so worse. The food got worse, the weight got worse, but most of all, the internal self-hatred. It was the darkest place I had ever been, and my circumstances, being a single mom trying to raise 3 kids and my middle son getting in trouble and not having the tools or the ability to help him, and just having my head buried in the food and unable, like just so unable to do anything about it. It was so dark. It was so bad. And today, yesterday, I celebrated 8 months of abstinence, contented abstinence freedom. I finally got what you guys were talking about, you know, this dawn being launched. I had to show God that I was willing by taking some humbling actions. And the first step was following the food plan like my life depended on it. That was, and using the tools as guardrails as I built this arch to freedom. And it was hard, but nothing's harder than that darkest spot I was in my life 8 months ago. And I just thank you all, and God, I'll pass.
Thank you very, very much. We have a little less than an extra minute, so I'm going to save that for newcomers. I hope you've been encouraged by what we've heard here today, and we'll stay on the line to share your number. So we'll now close the meeting by reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So will Barbara W. please read A Vision for You?
Yeah, Barbara W. here from Washington State. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will certainly constantly disclose more to you and to others. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until